Kuf-Chav-Alef. Good. So let's read it inside. This is what we're going to do. We're going to read it and translate it, as always. And then we're going to go through it. I'm going to tell you again a little bit of the background. Sorry, one second. I'm just trying to hide myself. Okay. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the background. And then we will go through it more particularly and learn what we can from it, again, for our generation and our time, as always. Good. So let's go. Shir HaLamalos, we all recognize this. Shir HaLamalos, Esayinai El HaHarim Me'ayin Evo Ezrei. So Shir HaLamalos, which is like this ambiguous phrase, which we're going to have to work out what that exactly that means. Esayinai El HaHarim, I raise my eyes to the mountains. Me'ayin Evo Ezrei, where will my help come from? Ezrei Me'im Hashem, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz. My help comes from Hashem, the maker of heaven and earth. Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yonim Shomrecha, he will not let your feet falter. Your guardian does not sleep. Hine lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Again, he doesn't slumber and he doesn't sleep, the guardian of Israel. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem should guard you. Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminecha, Hashem is your shade on your right side. Yomam Hashem esh lo yakeka v'yareich balayla. In the daytime, the sun should not harm you, and the moon at night. Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra, Hashem should guard you from all bad. Yishmor es nafshecha, should guard your soul. Hashem yishmor tzeischa v'oacha me'atav yad olam. Hashem should guard both your leaving and your coming from now and forever. So again, it's a very well-known pasuk. We all probably know, Perek, we all probably know it by heart, right? This is basically one of our two go-tos. Usually it's Kuf Chav Aleph and Kuf Lamed. They're short, they're nice, everybody knows it. Again, the point of what we try to do in this Tehillim Chabura, I'm saying it as if we've done it many times, right? But what we're trying to do here is get into the basic, like, underlying, I wouldn't say, like, psychology of the Perek, but, like, what is the Perek actually trying to tell us, right? We translate it, it sounds nice, we could say it all the time, when someone's sick, when we're in trouble, yada yada, but that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to get, like, a more deep understanding of what is David trying to convey with this specific Perek, and what does it teach us specifically? Again, really kind of like, what's the point, right? Which is what we ask about all Torah we learn, again, and including Tehillim. Especially following Rav Hirsch, who says, like, we're really trying to understand what the author of this meant to convey when he conveyed it. And as long as we just see it as a bunch of random psukim that are not connected to each other, we haven't yet gotten the point. Not that we missed the point, but we haven't gotten there yet. So that's the goal. Ready? So the first thing we have to talk about is, what does it mean, Shir HaMa'alos? This is, again, a relatively famous one. So does anyone know what do we know and what have we heard before about this little appellation that we start with, Shir HaMa'alos? Yeah, Sarah. Hi, Fabi.
Okay, I'm still practicing the mute unmute situation at work too. But basically, isn't that what the Levium said as they ascended the steps?
Good.
I remember this 3D Beis HaMikdash thing? If anyone's ever
well, that's
that,
so cool.
Where I got that from?
That is so cool. I wish I had a 3D Beis HaMikdash thing. Yeah, awesome. Okay, good. So this is well known for being, there were 15 steps from the Ezras Nushin to the Ezras Yisrael. So again, this is like sounds very fluffy unless you actually know, unless you could picture it, which Sarah can because she saw this really cool 3D thing, which I don't have, but I do have pictures that I looked up beforehand. So hold on a second. Let me share my screen for a sec. Oh, and I just X'd out of all of my sources. Oh no, what do I do? Help me. Oh no, that's really bad. I just X'd out all my sources.
Go to your history.
What do I do? I go
just
to my history.
All those things.
Okay.
Yeah, all those things are just opened.
All right, everybody give me a second. Because I just, how do I go to my history?
It should be an option towards the top of your screen, history, like file.
Oh,
whatever other options.
Hey, Jeff.
Control
my software engineer husband just came up the steps, so hold on a second.
Someone just said control.
Okay, fine. So here it is. Again, ready? Awesome. Now we are back up and running. Okay, sharing my screen with you. Here it is. Okay, so here's a picture of it. Everyone see? So again, it's from someone archaeological design. So this isn't exactly what it looked like, obviously, because they didn't have cameras back then. But you see that there are 15 steps from this Ezras HaNashim into the Ezras Yisrael. And we have in Sukkah 51b is the place where it talks about specifically the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But when talking about the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it seems to say that regularly, exactly like Sarah said, the Levium used to stand on these 15 steps and they would sing one of these 15 Shir HaMa'aloses from Kuf Chaf to Kuf Lamed Hey, I guess it is, on the steps ascending from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael. Here's another picture of it. Again, you can kind of see like all these 15 steps. So pretty cool. And again, it seems to be, again, even though it's mentioned by the Sim Class-based Eshoeva, it seems to be like this was a regularly happening thing. So, okay, what does that tell us? We're not really sure. This particular, and again, then there's a lot more midrashim. Some of you guys, has anyone heard anything else about it? A very famous midrash about it, which we're not necessarily sure what it means, unless you totally understand midrashim.
Wait, about what?
About the 15, yeah, the 15 shiramalos is. That okay, one David was building. So, yeah, come on, yeah. Sarah, give me your education over here.
Something like when David was building the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, he pulled up the Evan Shtiyah, I believe, and then the water from underneath was like flooding the world. And good. Because it was flooding the world, he had to stop it. So he came up with 15 shiramalos, and it took 15 levels for the water to recede down to the underground. And I have no idea, right? Like you said,
Good. Me neither, but it's a very famous medrash on it. I'm sure there are people who have Perushim on it who will tell us what it means. I can't really tell you, but again, just wanted to mention it because it's one of the most famous midrashim on this, which is that David was building the foundations and he accidentally went too deep and the water started flooding the world. Does anyone know who H is? I'm going to admit them for a second and then I'm going to be suspicious of them. H, declare yourself.
Batsheva is having trouble getting in.
Batsheva is over here. Okay. And I'm nervous about H. Fine. So, Heather. Remember Heather last time? That was Batsheva. I bet you H is Heather Batsheva.
Batsheva, because she's having a hard time getting in.
That other Batsheva. Okay. Okay, so hopefully she'll be able to join. So, fine. Okay, just wanted to mention it. Not exactly sure what it means, but yes, exactly. And then they receded too much. You know, he threw in the Shema Meforesh, the advice of Achitofel, and then the waters receded too much. So then he had to say 15 Sharamalos so that they ascended again until the water was in the correct place. Again, I'm sure this means a lot. I don't know what it is exactly. Fine. Now, there's something different about our Pasuk, Kufchav Aleph Aleph, that is different from the other 15. What is it? And that's going to be significant in how we're learning this. Anybody who has a sitter or a chumash or preferably a mikros gedolos in front of them, that's probably the best way to be able to participate well, because we're going to be doing some mefreshim and some looking at the lashonos, etc., etc. H, are you Batsheva? Feldman? All right.
Yes.
Hi, Batsheva. Hi. Sorry. Welcome. Hi. No worries. Okay, what is different about this one than the other ones?
It has a lamed.
Good. Instead of a?
Hey.
Okay. What's the difference between saying shir hamalos or shir lamalos? Technically. What's the technical difference? Pshat.
La means tail and ha means the.
Good. So shir hamalos very literally means the songs of the steps, right? That's what you say, the songs of the steps, which makes sense. It's the levium, we're standing on the steps, right? And again, we always say the song of the ascent, right? Because hamala also means ascent, which is like a really nice thing to say. And again, obviously, it's also the point of Tehillim. It's also the point of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So it's that intentionally. But shir hamalos, you can claim, is a song of the steps. Shir lamalos means something different. What does shir lamalos mean, Carrie, or anybody else?
To the steps.
Good. To the ascent, right? It's more the pshat of saying lamalos. Shir hamalos, the pshat is saying a song of the steps. Shir lamalos, the pshat is saying a song to ascend, right? The song to grow, the song of growth. So there's something specifically about Kuf Chav Aleph, which obviously we can't exactly get at here without learning the other 14, which we're not going to do in the next half hour, right? But there's something about this mimer specifically, this perek specifically, that Rav Hirsch points out also, which is lamalos. It's a perek that brings us up. It's a perek devoted basically to our growth. The way that he says it is this. It's a song for the ascents, right? Not of the steps, but a song for ascent. A song which expresses the thoughts from which we're able to derive strength and confidence for ascending at all times and in all places. Okay, so there's something about this perek that is supposed to be strengthening us and fortifying us for our constant will to growth. So that's going to be one of the things that we want to keep in mind as we're learning this perek, is what is it about this perek specifically? What is about this perek that this is shir lama alos and the other ones are shir hama alos? All right, what is it that's lama alos here? Okay, so that's our like overarching, I guess, underlying question. Let's start going through the perek. The way that I'm going to do this, again, if you have a Mikras Gadolus, is great. Otherwise, I'm going to try to do it in question and answer. Everybody, I hope, is very has like their finger on the unmute button to unmute themselves so that you could participate as we try to go through this. Okay. Shela Malos Esainai El Hahari Ma'ayin Yavo Ezrei, starting with Pasuk Aleph. A song to, again, to growth, to ascension. Esainai El Hahari, I raise my eyes to the mountains. From where does my help come? So what's the way that you guys have thought about this? Again, we all have said this probably hundreds and hundreds of times in our lives, I assume. What's the main question on this pasuk? And what have you always assumed that it has meant?
I always assume that it's David HaMelech saying, like, I've done whatever I could do, and I just need help. Like, I don't know what else to do. Like, who's going to save me? How can I get through this? Like, I just need Hashem. I just need your help. Like, you're the only one that can help me.
Good. Awesome. So you're picking out the main... You know, the main subject of the pasuk, which is what, Shayna? You're saying, what's he asking for?
Hashem's help.
Help, good, right? He's asking for help. He's not necessarily asking for Hashem's help yet, right? In this pasuk, what's he asking for? Just help.
Just help, yeah.
Right? And who does it seem, where is he looking for help? Which is like a little interesting.
Mountains.
To the mountains. So what have we all thought that this has meant until now, right? We've been saying it sort of verbatim for a while, but what does it mean? Why is he looking to the mountains? He doesn't start off by saying, Ezri me Hashem, my help comes from Hashem. He starts off by saying, I'm looking to the mountains. Where's my help coming from? He needs help, and he's looking to the mountains. Why is he looking to the mountains, people? Why is he doing that? What do we think that it means?
I don't really know, but I guess it's just, in my head, I always pictured somebody, like, standing at the bottom of a valley, like, staring up, and all you see are, like, you know, we kind of look up. God's not in the sky, but we all kind of think that way.
Awesome.
So if you look up, you see the mountains.
Good. Agree or disagree with Sima? Meaning, was this your internal rhetoric until now about this? I mean, I'm agreeing. That was exactly what was going on in my head. Yeah, everybody? Right?
Maybe it could also mean, like, the mountains are a physical thing. So maybe sometimes the first thing we look at is, like, people. We look at physical things to help us. And then only then do we realize that it's no physical being can help us, no mountain, no anything physical could help us, and then we realize in the end, like, only Hashem can help us.
Good, perfect. So that's where the Mefarshim are going to go. The interesting thing here is, again, this piece about the mountains. I always assumed that it meant what Sima said, which is like the Nachash HaNachoshes, right? There's something that we look up to because it helps us look up to Hashem. But the truth is, in Jewish, like, rhetoric, mountains are not that. We don't use mountains as an example of us looking up for God. What do we use? What should it say if we were looking up to God?
Sky,
Shemayim, right? Asainai ela Shemayim. I'm looking to Shemayim. Where is it coming from? It's coming from Hashem. That's not what David's saying here. Yeah. Right? He's saying, Asainai ela Harim. So the Mefarshim all go, and they interpret Haharim very similar to Shana did, right? They're saying, he's not yet looking to Hashem to help him. He's looking to the mountains. And again, they use this as an analogy or like a symbolism or like a metaphor. What's the metaphor that they use? Who looks to mountains, they say? Again, there's no way that we would know this. So I'll just tell you what they say. What'd you say? Okay, he's not taking it as in like a Avodah Zarah thing. He's more saying like if you're besieged, right? If you're like in a valley, kind of like Sima said also, right? If you're besieged in a valley, then who are you looking to for help? You're looking for reinforcements to come from like somewhere beyond you, right? You're like looking. Anyone ever seen Lord of the Rings? Okay, I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, read the books, saw the movies, they're awesome. There's one point where they're like, sorry about Jeva, her audio is having trouble. There was one point where like they're in a valley, they're absolutely besieged by the enemy, and then there's like this huge mountain, I should have gotten the clip and played it for you guys, and their like allies come over the mountain. So they all look to the mountain, and then you see this like massive army coming to help save them. Right, so again, that's the metaphor here, is like you look to the mountains for people who you don't yet see, but who are going to come and help you. So you're like looking, again, you're looking, you're waiting for your help to come. Radak actually says that you're on the mountains. You're on the mountains looking out to, again, look for, like, where are the reinforcements? Like, where are the people coming to help me? And again, what do you find? What's the ending of that? Looking to the mountains, looking to the mountains, looking to the mountains. Does it end like in Lord of the Rings? No, right? What do you find? Nothing. So what does David realize from here, so to speak? Again, David, I don't know necessarily is saying, I look to mountains for reinforcements, right? He's not, He's not being that, like, technical here, but he's using it as a metaphor. Sometimes, where do I look for help? Sometimes I need help. That's the basis. Where that's our starting point over here in this parak. We need help. And where do we look? We look for someone else to come help us. Sforno says Haharim are like the strong, right? Anyone that we associate with like strength. So we're looking for someone who's like stronger than us, who's better than us, who's like more put together than us, who's again in some way our ally, our reinforcement. We're waiting for them to come and save us. And silence, right? We're not getting it. And we keep asking, Ma'ayin Ebo Ezri, so where's my help going to come from? And then we realize, what? Pasuk Beis. Ezri Me'im Hashem, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz. Right? What do we find time and again? What do we find whenever we look outside of ourselves for help? Whenever we look to the mountains, we look to the people who we associate with strength, who we think have everything put together, who we think are going to help us, and doesn't come through again and again and again. What do we find? What does come through? Who does come through? Hashem. Right? Ezri Me'im Hashem, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz. Let's do Malbim and then we'll do the Medrash. Right? Malbim says he has like a good tight read of the Psukim as Malbim always does. Why say Osei Shemayim Va'aretz? Meaning why use that epithet? Ezri Me'im Hashem, the end. What does it mean Osei Shemayim Va'aretz? Meaning what's David saying to himself? What's David saying? What are we saying to ourselves when we say Osei Shemayim Va'aretz? What are we reminding ourselves? Say it again, Esther, I think.
Oh, that Hashem made the mountains.
Oh, interesting. Cool, I like that. Interesting, because mountains are sort of like the bridge between Shemayim and Aretz. That's who we were looking for, and reminding ourselves that Hashem made that. I love that shot. That's a great shot. I haven't seen it, but it's awesome. What do you think, Shana?
It's reminding us ourselves that Hashem is the creator of the world, and like he's constantly recreating the world every second, because it says Osa in the present. It doesn't say Asa in the past. So what it means is that he's constantly, every single second, he's renewing creation, showing us just how involved he is, and like he's a creator.
Good. Right. That's what our doc says, right? Something like that, where he says, Kihu Osa Shemayim Va'aretz Va'kol Biyado Lasos Ma Sheyirtza. Right? Listen, he's still in absolute control. It's everything is in his hand, Lasos Ma Sheyirtza, for him to do whatever he wants to do. So Ezri Me'im Hashem, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz. My help comes from Hashem, who could do anything. Everything is in his hand to be able to do anything. So again, Malbim says, it's Shemayim and Aretz, because Aretz, right, sometimes I'm stuck in my own, like, physical human reality. And I'm like, well, Hashem's in charge of Teva, but, like, there's all of this stuff outside, right? Like, what is there? I see Teva, I see nature, but, like, what is there outside of that that I don't have control over? And he's saying, Hashem made Shemayim and Aretz. Hashem is in charge of Teva, but he's also in charge of everything that's in charge of Teva. Right? He's in charge of all the forces, which again, I don't know what it means, so don't ask me specifically, right? I can't explain, but obviously this is what we believe, right? We believe that there's a spiritual world out there that is, again, represented by Shemayim. And Hashem is on top of both Aretz, everything that we see as part of Teva, but also of Shemayim. Anything that rules the Teva, Hashem rules that too. So again, just reminding ourselves, Osei Shemayim Va'aretz, like everything, anything that could have an impact on me, everything that could be used to help me or that could be used to harm me, right? Hashem is above it all. Hashem's in charge of it all. Okay? I want to mention here, I wasn't sure where to put it, but I think for some reason this is maybe a good place, just because it has like a good read with the Pasuk. But the Medrash attributes this perek to Yaakov Avinu. So it says that this describes the life of Yaakov, specifically when Yaakov was leaving his homeland in Eretz Yisrael and running away to Haran, to the house of Laban. So again, he had just stolen the Bechorah. Rivka advises him to run away to the house of Laban. He goes basically as a fugitive, empty-handed, to the house of Laban. And I think, it's funny, I learned at some point Tehillim, I think it was in seminary. I don't have much like on this perek, but I had in the margins of my Tehillim, it said Segula for Shiduchim, without any explanation. But I believe that it comes from this, right? The Ezri Me'im Hashem as a Gezeira Shava to Ezer Kenegdo, right? My Ezer, the person who is going to be my helper, not only, like, again, as like a sort of a midrashic read of it, right? Like a more symbolic read of it, that my Ezer Kenegdo is going to come from Hashem. So again, they say that this is like the life of Yaakov. I'll give it to you for a second. And again, just keep that in mind also as we read this and we try to get the main point of it, that That's what Yaakov's saying. Yaakov's saying, Ezri me'im Hashem, Moshe Shemayim Aretz. That here was, like, my father, when he wanted to get married, when Yitzhak wanted to get married, Avraham sent Eliezer, laden with, like, 10 camels and all these gifts, and he went and he got Rivka. And what do I have? I'm, like, running away from home. I'm a fugitive. I have nothing, right? What worked for him is not going to work for me. I need help. I need some extra help to find my help, right? To find Ezri me'im Hashem, to find this... my Ezra connecto, so to speak, and I know Hashem's going to help me. And then again, it says, that again, no matter what, Hashem was always with Yaakov, or Yaakov always believed that Hashem was with him. And Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra, Hashem should save you from all bad, both from Yaakov and from, I mean, both from Esav and from Lavan. Hashem yishmor tzeischa uvoacha, when he left Eretz Yisrael, uvoacha, and also when he came back to Eretz Yisrael. So again, just keep that in mind a little bit about Yaakov. And again, I think it's just like a nice read of this pasuk. Again, I'll tell you that when I was also looking for my Ezer Kenegdo, I would definitely have that in mind when I said this pasuk beis. I thought that was like a nice way of like having kavanah here. Fine, moving on. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yamnum shomrecha. So hold on a second. What is the subject? What is the subject of pasuk aleph and beis? What is like the mila mancha, right? What's the leading word? What's the most important word as the subject of pasuk aleph and beis? What are we talking about? What's the central help. Subject of David? Yeah.
Help.
Good. Bajava, right? Ezri asking for Ezer. Okay. It's about to switch. And it's about to switch in a few significant ways, and I want you to start paying attention to it. Al yitain lamot raglecha. Don't let, al yitain, he will not let your feet falter. Al yanum shomrecha. Your guardian does not sleep. What just happened in this pasuk? Something very grammatically significant just happened in this pasuk. Which has to be explained by Alma Farshim, and nobody again really points it out in this lesson, and I'm not really sure why. But what grammatically happened? And I had written all these notes, and I've gone over my notes, and only when I was thinking about it again, I was like, hey, that just shifted in Pasuk Gimel without like any indication of what was about to happen. What grammatically just happened here?
This is from first person.
Good. Two.
I don't know how to...
Second person. Right? Person. Good. Yeah. Right, Esther? It starts with David talking about himself, or again, the author... Not when I say David, I don't mean David was talking about his own little, right, his own little contained life. I mean David speaking as the author who is giving this over to all of us, right? It shifts from him talking in first person. Esa einai el haharim, einai bozri. I'm looking for my help. Where's my help coming from? My help is coming from Hashem. And then it switches to al yitain lamot raglecha. He should not let your feet stumble, or he will not let your feet falter. Al yanum shomrecha. Your guardian does not falter. So what just happened? Why did it just change? Is David now not talking to personally anymore? What do you think the Mepharshim are going to say? What just happened there?
Maybe he's talking to himself.
Good, he's talking to himself. Exactly, right? Bacheva, that's exactly what Mepharshim say. What's the tone? He's talking to himself as if... What'd you say, Bacheva?
As if he's somebody else encouraging him. Like...
Good, beautiful, right? Good. We're now hearing the internal dialogue, so to speak, of David or the author, right? All of us, obviously, talking to ourselves, offering ourselves comfort. Okay, so the first two psukim, we're looking for help. We're telling ourselves our help is only going to come from Hashem. And now we just switched, and it stays in second person for the rest of the perek. And what just switched now is that now we hear our own internal dialogue talking to ourselves. What are we saying to ourselves in our heads? We're saying... And again, Mitzudas David, the way that he phrases this is, ki'ilu, as if, again, why did it just switch, so to speak? I think that's his question. Ki'ilu, echa yomar lechaveiro, derech nechama. As if somebody is speaking to his friend as a way of comfort, like Bacheva just said, encouragement and comfort. Saying, what? Hine ezra tovahi, ki lo yitin raglecha nantio. You picked a good person to rely on, right? Merdak says the same thing. Omer echad lechaveru, like somebody who says to his friend, derech nechama, tovu, shesamtecha bitchoncha b'Hashem. It was good. It was a good choice that you decided to trust in Hashem. Right, so again, the second person that now we're saying in our heads, right? Like I decided that Hashem is going to be my help. I realized matzasi. I found that Hashem is my only help, and now I'm offering myself words of comfort. He won't let my feet falter. And my guardian does not sleep, or your guardian does not sleep, but we're telling it to ourselves. So again, Radak here was like, let me just make sure I'm not missing anything. Right, so Malbim, again, has like a good read of the two parts of this pasuk. Again, he did Shemayim V'aretz before. He says that we're going to split it up between Al Yitein Lamut Raglecha, that your feet should not falter, Al Yanum Shomrecha, your guardian does not sleep. He was saying, what are the two things that David is comforting himself about, or that David is encouraging himself over? It's really a better word, Bajava. Right? What are the two things, the two like dimensions that he's recounting to himself? He says this, Ayitin Lamo Raglecha is an internal guardian. Like Hashem is going to guard you from yourself, from you making the wrong move, from you making a mistake, from you faltering, from you falling, from you sinning. And Ayonim Shomrecha, again, now we're comparing Hashem to a guard. And again, we don't, Chazdei Hashem, right, living in America, we don't understand what it was like to like live in a fortified city with like guards on post. But you slept well in your bed at night because you knew that someone was out there not sleeping and guarding your city from being like attacked by Attila the Hun or whoever else is going to attack your city. Right? So Ayonim Shomrecha is that Hashem is guarding you from external forces impacting you. So Ayitin Lamot Raglecha, Hashem is helping you that you don't fall, that you don't fail, that you don't make the wrong move. Ayonim Shomrecha, and he's guarding you from anything external that could harm you. And again, that's what we're, again, telling ourselves. Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem is your guardian. Again, Hashem is your guard. It's a military term, right? Shomrecha. Like, it's not like a fluffy term. It's a military term. Hashem is Shomrecha. Hashem is your shomer. Hashem is watching out. Hashem is your guard at the guard post, armed and ready to attack anybody who tries to attack you. All right, Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem Tzilcha, Yad Yiminecha. Hashem is your shade on your right side. What do we think that means?
That he's with you everywhere?
Did I skip a pasuk? I did, right? Hinei lo yinu v'lo yishan shom Yisrael. Thanks for pointing that out, people. Follow along inside. Okay, sorry, I skipped pasuk dalet. Hinei lo yinu v'lo yishan shom Yisrael. Here, the guardian of Israel does not sleep and does not slumber. By the way, what is now the Mila Mancha? Have we picked it up in Gimel Dalet in my accidental read of Hay? Have we picked it up? What it has changed from Azer, from me asking for help, to what?
Mare.
Good, Shomer, right? And a Shomer of what? Are we asking for guardianship? Are we asking someone to guard us?
No, that's for acknowledging it.
Good, we're acknowledging it. Exactly, right? We're describing it. We are not talking about Hashem as the Shomer. What does it mean that Hashem is the Shomer? Well, one thing, it means that he's making sure that my feet don't fall and he is guarding at night. And the other one is that he doesn't sleep. Our guardian doesn't sleep, right? The Shomer on the wall, I'm sleeping in my bed, but I have one eye open because they might fall asleep on their guard and then I'm in trouble, right? But here, Ayonim Shomrecha. He's not sleeping. What does it mean to sleep? I mean, what do we think? What's the symbolism behind that? Are we actually saying, your shomrim sleep, but like, we're really lucky because Hashem doesn't actually have the physical need for sleep. Yashar Koach. Or do we think that that's like a little bit more symbolic? And what is it symbolic of? Say again?
Never stopping to look out for you.
Exactly. Right? Hime'olam eino mesir hashgachaso. There's no point at which Hashem ceases to be your shomrim. A shomer, when he falls asleep, is not a shomer anymore. He's a shomer who has fallen asleep. Hashem is a shomer who never falls asleep. He never ceases to be the shomer. He is always awake. All right? Hashem shomrecha, hinei lo yinu v'lo yishan shomei Yisrael. Our guardian never stops being a guardian, ever. Eino yasir es hashgacha somi imcha. I quoted that wrong. Ki hinei me'olam eino meisir hashgacha so. Forever, eternally, there's no point at which his hashgacha, his capacity to look out for us, is removed. Okay, and then, Hashem Shomrecha, Hashem is your guardian. Hashem Tzilcha Yad Yiminecha. What does it mean, Hashem is your shade on your right hand? What does this mean?
Like a right hand man? Kind of thing?
That's interesting. So that would be Tzel as like a shadow, right? Which I think is like kind of interchangeable. At least I'm always confused about which one Tzel means personally, right? But Tzel actually seems to mean shadow. I mean, shade. So what's the essential quality of shade?
see from the sun.
Good, right? Shade doesn't exist other than when it's not, when there's too much sunshine and it's not the sunshine. Right? That's what shade is. So again, it's Radak reads it at least as like a, or I think it's Matsuda's David. Yes? Matsuda's David reads it as like a basic saying, like a protection. In the same way that the sail, shade, is protection from the sun, something that's more powerful than you and could harm you. So again, Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yimenecha. Hashem is your shade. Hashem is protecting you al Yad Yimenecha. And that's the point where we say, like, again, he's always there. Al Yad Yimenecha, like, you, wherever you turn, Hashem is always there protecting you. Yomam, okay, the next pasuk we're going to get a little bit more into, which is fun, and take it apart. Yomam Hashem Eshalei Kekka V'Yareach B'Laila. By day, the sun should not harm you, and the moon at night. So again, what do we assume that this pasuk means? What do we assume is the point or the message behind this pasuk? How would you phrase it? What have you always thought that it meant?
I always meant that Hashem is like always protecting you. In the day, he's and at nighttime, that's when it's more like we're alone and we're more scared and all that kind of stuff. So it's like no matter where we are, no matter if it's light out.
Good. It's a little hard to hear, but good. Right? So this is, I think, that actually the essential problem with this pasuk, right? Which is that it's saying that somehow, in a parallel way, the sun is harmful in the morning, the sun is harmful in the daytime, and the moon is harmful in the nighttime. So, again, what Shayna's shot, which is, I think, I also have always done this in my head, really focuses on the nighttime, right? Hashem should just, like, basically protect you, ve'yireach b'layla. And, like, at nighttime, when we're, like, sad and alone, Hashem should also protect you. Right? But it doesn't seem to actually be the pasuk. The pasuk seems to equate Yomam Hashemesh le'yakeka. There's some danger that we could have from both sides of this coin. What is it? Okay, I'll tell you, what do you got? So, again, what have you thought? Anyone else want to venture? Before we take it apart, you're like, no, Chana, because you're going to dismantle whatever thing I say.
It could both be blinding, like too much sun is blinding and darkness is blinding.
Good, awesome. So that's actually really interesting about like the incapacity to see. That's also like a great shot. Go with that. We'll write like our own Parish on Tehillim after this. So I like what you said, Chavi, because what Chavi and Shayna both did was read this symbolically, right? There's something that's symbolized by the daytime, and there's something that's symbolized by the nighttime. And we don't want either of those to hurt us. Okay? That's Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch's parish. It's not Radak's, Malbim's, Ibn Ezra, Mitzudas David. None of the Pashtunim say that, interestingly. I thought this was like really surprising when I read it. All the Pashtunim say, what again, they are saying is Pshat, which is this. I'll read you Mitzudas David's Pshat specifically. B'yom lo yazik lecha chom ha-shemesh. In the day, literally, the heat of the sun should not harm you. What do we call that? Dehydration or heat stroke. U'balayla lo yazik lecha lachos ha-yareach. And literally, at night, when everything cools down and it gets more damp, the dampness should not hurt you. Ha-mevi tachluim. That could bring sicknesses with it. Don't get heat stroke in the daytime. You shouldn't get cold at nighttime. Everyone else says the same thing. And I'm just like, why are they all saying that? Why are they all saying that? Why do all the Pashtunim say this very shot physical thing about the sun actually not hurting you and the Yireach actually not hurting you? And I'll read you Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch says a lot more of what we would have thought. What we, I don't know. I mean, this is like, anyone tell me if you were thinking more like Pashtunim, but I think we're all thinking more like Rav Hirsch. Right? If the Lord is your guardian, then when the sun of prosperity stands on your right hand, he is also your shade, so that the glitter of good fortune will not dazzle you and make you arrogant. Right? Yomam HaShemesh Lo'yakeka, when you're in a time of prosperity and goodness, it shouldn't hurt you. It shouldn't hurt you morally. It shouldn't degrade you. You shouldn't become arrogant and take advantage of people and be magi'ali all the time. So the sun of the day of joy will not harm you, right? We shouldn't be harmed by our own prosperity and goodness and joy that we forget what's important. And during the nights of misfortune, right? And during the nights, exactly what Shayna said, right? The nights that we symbolize with like being a harder time, your awareness of the Lord and your trust in him will gently dispel the gloom of sorrow for you, even as the moon brightens the darkness of the night. And Hashem should be the moon at night. Okay, Rav Hirsch, so is Rav Hirsch more of what you guys were thinking? Tell me, does that like, Does that resonate more? Like, if you were going to come up with a shot, you would have come up with a reverse shot? It's not just me? Yes? Good. Right? So I was trying to figure out, like, why is it the Pashtunim say one thing and a reverse says another thing? And again, just, like, learning a little bit more in depth because it's Gushmak. Reverse reads two psukim together. Thank you, Bracha, for the thumbs up. Right? Rav Hirsch reads the psukim in a different way than the Pashtunim. And that's how he gets his conclusion, and he reads it differently than the Pashtunim do. So tell me, look inside. Firstly, the first thing that I thought was that, listen, their Rishonim, he's an Acharon. He was living in industrialized Germany in the 1800s, and they were living on, like, agricultural farms. And there, weather was a lot more important, as we all now see during the coronavirus. We're like, if it's bright outside, I'm in a good mood. And if it's raining outside, I'm in a bad mood, right? They were like that, but, like, also their crops and also their livelihood and, like, without air conditioning, right? So I think, like, just for Rishonim, saying they had a much more personally attached to the weather and their own health. And so to say, Yomam HaShemesh L'Yakeka, that you shouldn't be stricken literally by the sun and he shouldn't be stricken literally by the night was something that was probably very close to their own experience of the world versus like Rav Hirsch and us as Achronim, right? We're more apt to read it symbolically. So that was my first thought. My second thought was realizing that Rav Hirsch is actually reading the Psukim differently than the Pashtunim. So tell me, I'm going to give you a hint. What two Psukim is Rav Hirsch reading together and how is he splitting them up? And what two Psukim are the Pashtunim reading together and how are they splitting it up? That bases their shot on it. I'll give you like 30 seconds. Some people don't enjoy these questions, some people do.
Can we say that the Pashtunim are putting the previous pasuk with this pasuk and talking about like the shade, and then Rav Hirsch is kind of connecting this pasuk to the next pasuk of Hashem Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmor Nafshecha?
Good. So you have the right split, just with the wrong people, right? That's the chop, but it's opposite. Rav Hirsch is reading hey and vav together, and the Pashtunim are reading vav and zayin together. Why am I saying that? Right, back that up. The Pashtunim are reading the two parts of vav as parallel to each other, as pshat, in contrast to Zion. Okay, look inside, if anyone has inside. Rav Hirsch is reading hey and vav as a continuation of the same thought. Anyone see that? So let's go with the Pashtunim. Yumam HaShemesh lo yakeka v'yirech balayla. There's something in the morning by the Shemesh that is harmful, yakeka, that could hit us. And there's something at night in the same way. Yumam HaShemesh lo yakeka v'yirech balayla. That's the cold pshat of vav. And then Zion is Hashem Yishmorcha Mikol Ra Yishmoras Nafshecha. What bad are we trying to be? Are we noting that we're being protected from in Zion? Yishmoras Nafshecha, right? Something spiritual, which gives us the contrast that in Vav we're talking about something physical, right? Vav Yumam Hashemesh Leikeka V'Yirech Balayla. Physically, literally, in your life. The sun should not harm you physically, and the moon should not harm you physically in the night. Hashem Yishmorcha Mikol Ra. Hashem should save you from all bad. Yishmoras Nafshecha. Hashem should save you from any other bad that isn't physical. Yishmoras Nafshecha, your soul, right? The spiritual parts of yourself. Hashem is protecting that in Pasuk Zion. So that gives us a contrast for the Pashtunim of Vav being physical protection and Zion being spiritual protection. Rav Hirsch reads it the other way, or not the other way, just differently. He says, Hashem Shomracha, period. Or really, some colon. Hashem Shomracha. Hashem is your guardian. How so? Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yeminecha Yumam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka. Hashem is your shade in the times of sunshine, that the sun should not hurt you. V'yareach Balayla. And Hashem is your moon at night. That's good, right? Come on, guys. You see that? You see how Rav read that differently? Hashem Shomracha. Hashem is your guardian. Hashem Tzilcha al Yad Yeminecha Yumam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka. Hashem is your shade, so in the mornings the sun does not hurt you, via reach balayla. And Hashem is your moon at night, which by the way is the only way to read it if you want to read it symbolically, right? Us achronim, whose minds go to that as the interpretation, you've got to be able to back it on psukim. You can't just like, if you only had vav without hey, I don't think Rav Hirsch would have been able to say that pshat. Because you would have to have read both pieces of vav as parallel to each other. And then you can't say that Hashem is, that Hashem, that the sun shouldn't hurt you, but Hashem is your Yireach at night. You can't jump around like that, right? But again, since Rav Hirsch has hey, that's how he reads it, and he reads Zion. It's again just like the follow up to again the also the physical, moral, and spiritual and social. He adds like the social and the moral piece of how Hashem's protecting you. Okay, so going on to Zion, Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Hashem should save you from all bad. He should save your soul. So again, this like sort of spiritual protection, which again Rav Hirsch adds social and moral protection for us. Hashem yishmor tzeischa uvoacha me'ad olam. Why say that? What does that mean? What's the point of that? Hashem yishmor tzeischa uvoacha me'ad tavyad olam. Hashem should watch your going and your coming from now and forever. Again, Malbim's going to take like the two, what are the two dimensions of that pasuk? Hashem yishmor tzeischa uvoacha. It's great, right? Hashem yishmor tzeischa uvoacha me'ad olam. What are the two dimensions that are mentioned there, therefore?
Is it time and space?
Good. Time and space, right? Seischa uvoacha, Hashem should guard your anywhere where you go or where you come, everywhere, right? In space, wherever you are, me'atav yad olam, and now and forever, and in time. Hashem should guard you in space and in time, no matter what, under all circumstances, forever. Okay, so that's our reading inside of the perek. Now, we always have to ask ourselves after we do this, again, remembering lama alos, remembering that this specific psalm, this specific perek, is for ascension, for growth. Remembering Yaakov Avinu, who the Medrash said that this is about, in, again, that very precarious place he was when he was running away initially, and he knew that he basically had a lot of tasks against him, but he also had faith that Hashem was going to help him. All right, what is, like, the basic... What's the basic point of this perek? And I want to do it, and again, it's a big question, so I could just kind of like throw it out there, but who knows what kind of answers we would get, so I want to give some sort of guidelines. Again, what are the two major themes in this perek? What are the two themes? Where did it start and where did it go? Come on. What are the two subjects? I wouldn't say themes, I would say subjects, right? What are the two milamanchas? It went from somewhere to somewhere else. Go back. I'm not telling you guys. you have to figure it out yourself. Shirla Ma'alos Hazayin Ha'el Harim Ma'anibo Ezri. Ezri Ma'im Ha'asem Ha'ashem Ha'im Ha'aretz. Ayitin L'mayor Glecha Al Yinu M'shem Recha. Right? What word did we get battered at by in the beginning? And what word do we get battered at by, sorry, the rest of the time? Good. Ozer and Shomer, right? The first two, very much. I saw an Elohim, my Anibu Ezri. Where's my help coming from? Ezri me, Hashem Moshe Shemayim Va'aretz. So what's our starting point in this parak? Does it seem like? What's our starting point? Where does David start? He's asking for help. Right? Again, like, yeah. Physical, yeah, right? Or just like very practical. He's asking for help. He needs something. There's something that he wants. There's something that he needs that he feels justified asking Hashem for. Very much so. And Rav Hirsch gives us his reasoning behind it, meaning at what points are we justified in asking Hashem for what we want? Maybe we're always justified, but we're especially justified when? Rav Hirsch says it this way, it is to him that I look for my ezer, for assistance, as regards both my existence and my desires. Since my own existence and my own desires are in conformity with his will and with the goals of his rule. Right? I can ask for his help. I feel justified in asking for his help. Both for anything that has to do with my existence, like very physical, or my desires for things that I want, for things that I'm striving for. Again, lema'alos, things that are above me, that I'm going towards, right? Things that I'm striving towards because that's what Hashem wants for me. I know that. It's in conformity with what Hashem wants and Hashem's will. Right? So that's where he starts. Ezra, he's asking for help. And where does he go? He goes actually two places, which I only realized after I read it inside. He goes into Shomer, but the Shomer itself is split into two kinds of Shomer. Or two like rhetorics around Hashem being the Shomer. So again, he starts with Ezri in first person. He goes into Shomer in second person. But how would you split up, or where would you split up in the Psukim, where even David describing Hashem as a Shomer splits?
Spiritual and physical.
Good. So meaning within the Psukim itself, he talks about Hashem supporting us physically and Hashem supporting us spiritually, Hashem being our shomer physically and our shomer spiritually. But within the psukim, meaning you would split Aleph and Beis are at Ezer, and then where would you, there's a split within Hashem being a shomer, or within David talking about Hashem as a shomer. Where is that? Let's read it again, okay? I'm going to read it in Hebrew because we all know it. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. I'll read, just kidding, I'll read it in Hebrew and English. Hashem, you know, your guardian will not let your feet falter. Your guardian does not sleep. Hinei lo yinu v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Here, the guardian of Israel does not slumber and does not sleep. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yadim nechan. Again, remember what Batsheva said. This is our internal dialogue to ourselves. This is what we're saying to ourselves. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem is watching us. Hashem tzilcha al yadim nechan. Hashem is your shade on your right side. Yomam Hashem eslo yekeko v'yareach b'layla. At daytime, the sun will not hurt you, and the moon at night. Translating that like the Bashanim. Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra. Hashem will save you from all evil. Yishmor es nafshecha. Hashem will save your soul. Hashem will protect you spiritually also, and morally, socially. Hashem yishmor tzeischa v'acha me'ad olam. Hashem will guard your going and coming in all dimensions of space and time.
In the last two psukim, it changes tense to yishmorcha.
Ah, good. What happens? It changes tense, right? It goes from first person to second person, and in the last two psukim, in Zayin and Ches, it also changes tense. Instead of David talk, so what's the difference? What's the difference? Gimel, Dalet, and Hey are talking, and Vav are talking about what? And Zion and Ches are talking about what? Again, David talking to it himself, so to speak, or us talking to ourselves. What changed?
Zion and Ches are more like the future, like you will.
Good. Right? Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, we're telling ourselves what is. We're describing, we're giving ourselves chizuk, like Batsheva said, encouragement, like Mitzvah David said, nechama, comfort. This is what is. I'm asking for help. I start asking for help. And then I transition to statements of fact. What is? Hashem will not let my feet falter. Right? Again, switching it to first person because I'm saying it to myself in my head. Hashem does not sleep. Every other shomer sleeps. Hashem does not sleep. My guardian is always there for me. He's always watching out. He doesn't sleep. There's no changing of the guard. Hashem yishmarcha, Hashem tzilcha yad minecha. Again, Hashem is my shade to protect me from shemesh, not reading like a hirsh, be'reach, balayla, and at times of the night, Hashem is my light. The end, right? I'm describing Hashem as my shomer. And the next two, once I'm able to describe Hashem as my shomer like that, I can now switch to future tense. Therefore what? Hashem yishmarcha mikol ra. Hashem will be there for me as my shomer no matter what. Yishmor es nafshecha. Hashem will always be guarding my soul. I understand this about Hashem as my shomer now, and therefore I know that Hashem will also be my shomer in the future. Hashem will always be there for me. Hashem yishmor tzeischa v'acha me'ata v'yarolam. I'm confident. I have confidence. I have understanding. I feel stable that Hashem will protect me in all dimensions, again, all in all space and in all time. So again, I would say like that I think is like the progression of it, is that we start asking for help. We know that our help is justified because what we're asking for is lamala. We're asking for growth, which we know is justified in Hashem. And again, in Hashem's will for us and Hashem's will for the world. And then we describe Hashem and we gain confidence in describing this is how Hashem is our shomer. This is how Hashem is our guardian. And therefore we know that he will always be like that. And again, will offer us that help. And also why Yaakov, I think, therefore, is the epitome of this. Because again, he went out totally empty-handed. He knew that what had worked for other people was not going to work for him. Again, specifically in finding a shidduch, right? Like he knew that what had worked for Yitzhak was not going to work for him. He knew that he was in a lot of danger behind him from Esav and a lot of danger in front of him for Lavan. And still, Hashem shomrecha and Hashem yishmor tzeischa v'acha. He knew that Hashem was going to help him get the help that he needed. Because what he wanted was in tune with what Hashem wanted. Okay, I apologize for making this so long again.